Hi, I'm Katie.
And I'm Coley.
Welcome to the SVU Coven podcast, Little Witch Detectives. That's my first time saying it since we've been back.
I know.
Oh. I've been wondering about changing it to Welcome Back to the SVU Coven podcast,
That
but
would
I don't.
make sense.
It would I think they both make sense.
They do.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good.
That's good. For the sake of time, should we just like jump into things?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So, this is our witch talk. It's the corner of the intro of our show where we catch you guys up on what we've been doing. We always laugh because it's a little redundant since we talk to each other pretty much every day.
Yeah.
400 day snap streak going.
Heck
So
yeah.
But we like to catch you guys up because you don't know. If you haven't seen our latest episode, it actually came out today. So when you're seeing this, it'll have been last Monday. But we did a full overview of where we've been recently after our 4 month hiatus or so.
Yeah.
So if you haven't seen that, definitely go check that out because that gives a more in-depth story from both of us on what we've been up to. But for me, I kind of decided since I walked through my entire life in the last episode that I was going to talk about a couple unique things today for my witch talk. Look at me being prepared for the witch talk. That never
I know.
happens. So the first thing I wanted to say is if you guys didn't know, one of my main hobbies is video games, and I don't feel like I talk about it on the podcast very often, but it definitely is a huge part of my life. And part of that is I am kind of a co-host, co-gamer on my friend Sassy's stream, and I play DBD with her every Tuesday night on stream. So if
What's
you guys have
DVD?
Dead by Daylight.
Gotcha.
Sorry, should have said that. But I am on her stream every Tuesday. And then on Thursdays, I'm also a moderator of hers. So I'm in chat. So if you guys are interested and into that kind of thing, her Twitch is twitch.tv/MissSassy_Kit. And we do that a lot. And I think. Oh, it'll be before this comes out, but you guys could watch the VOD. On Friday, I'll be in person on her stream. Occasionally, I'm in person on them. So, that's just another thing that I have been doing and I don't talk about enough. And Sassy's an amazing streamer. So, if you're into that, definitely check her out. And then, my other thing I wanted to talk about is that I'm getting frustrated at the state of AI a little bit. And journalism and all of that stuff. If you guys didn't know, I work for a company called Wealth of Geeks and I do all of their content editing. And we've been struggling a lot with like Google's new parameters on AI. And it's blocking a lot of, honestly, in my opinion, it's censorship because they are like, if they did think that your content is AI, they're pulling it off of being searchable, basically. And
That's insane.
it's to the point now, if you Google our website, it doesn't always like show up and other thing like other websites that mention us do. And it hurts our business overall, even though Wealth of Geeks is in very good standing and we have real writers, real content editors, real people working on all of this stuff. And it's just ever so frustrating, not just for Wealth of Geeks, but for like small publishers in general. And small publishers matter. So I was going to invite you guys, if you were so interested, to head to our website and check out some of our stuff, maybe sign up for our newsletter, just to kind of help. I have a team of writers, that also are so important to me and I just want to keep everybody's jobs going, and I think it's important to support smaller publications because they're filled with great writers and editors and readers and communities that are getting hit hard with this wave of AI. And yeah, that's the other thing going on in my life, just dealing with being taken over by robots. But yeah, if you guys are interested in either of those things, let me know and I can give you more information about it.
So my witch talk. I'm in a D&D campaign.
Oh
I meant to say that last week and I forgot. But yeah, I'm in a D&D campaign and it's really fun. My cousin is the DM. My other cousin plays with us and a couple of their friends play. And I think I'm the oldest one there, but that's okay.
It's mine. Have you been
Yeah.
liking it?
Yes, very
Yeah.
much.
I get really nervous getting put on the spot, so I'm not like the best at D&D.
Yeah, I have to tweak my character a little bit. Like, I not tweak it. I had to like add stuff to my character so that my DM can use my backstory.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I gotcha. I just like every time it's my turn to say something, I'm like, well, I don't wanna. I'm like, can you do it for me? And then it's not, I'm not the best player. I'm not the most fun, but I watch a lot of like people playing D&D and I enjoy
Yeah.
it. Mm-hmm.
There was something else that I had that just slipped out of my mind. I
Oh.
hate when that happens.
Sorry, that was probably my
Oh,
fault.
no. 3 days from the day of recording this, so March 28th will be my 8 year anniversary of being diagnosed with MS.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't usually recognize it because I don't usually have to think about it. But with everything that's been going on the past few months, it's like, it's there, you know?
I also think it's kind of universe-y how it the anniversary of your diagnosis is on MS Awareness Month.
Yeah.
But that is a long time.
Yeah.
How do you feel about
How do I feel about what?
it being 8 years?
Oh. It's kind of mind-boggling because for so many years I didn't necessarily feel like I had MS or feel like I was sick.
Right.
But again, these past few months have just been a lot. And yeah.
Got you.
And I've been watching the L Word. I'm powering through because it's coming off Hulu on April 1st.
Of course.
So, of
So is
course.
Good Trouble. I'm so
Yeah.
mad. It's been so funny watching you watch the L Word because it's like experiencing it for the first time.
Yeah.
Because I've seen it so many times.
Yeah. I still haven't gotten to the episode that I saw in high school. I saw one episode of the L Word in high school. And I'm in the vicinity of it, and I know that because Marley's on the show, Marley
Yeah.
Matlin. But I still haven't gotten to that place yet. But I'm
Yeah.
on season 5 now, so.
You're really chugging along on it. The L word is great, especially if you're the gay like we are. So Shane is my favorite.
I love Shane. I used to, like, prior to like season 4, I was really liking Jenny and I could relate a lot to her. But
Yeah.
like season 4, like halfway through season 4 and on, when Les Girls became a thing, or lay girls that they're calling in season five. She's just been a royal bitch.
Yeah, it's crazy her character arc. The writing is kind of interesting because you really, really like her, and then it's just kind of like up and down after
Yeah.
that.
And something else about the L word that I find fascinating is Eileen Chaikin was one of the creators of the L word. And Eileen Chaikin was also the first showrunner on OC.
I remember that happening because at the time I wrote for a publication called After Ellen. And they actually interviewed her. My boss, Jocelyn, had interviewed her when she started writing for OC because After Ellen was a lesbian online magazine that covered anything and everything lesbian related. So the L word was like a prominent like staple on the site. And so they got to interview her when she started OC, and I was like, oh, it's like a little universe, like
That's
things are
awesome.
like, she's a great writer, like a great
Yeah.
show. And she doesn't work on OC anymore though.
No. One more thing on my witch talk before we move on. I submitted three poems to a literary magazine like a week and a half ago from time of recording. And I remember being up at like 5:30 trying to decide which poems to submit. And I texted my mentor because she's up at like 3:30 in the, or like 3 o'clock in the morning. So I texted her, I was like, I need your help. And like she's read all my stuff, even the stuff that's not published. She's read all of it. So I was like, help me figure out which poems to submit to this literary magazine. I'm thinking of this one, and this one, and this one, but I'm conflicted between the last two, which one to, and she's like, either one of them would be a strong story, but this one would be even stronger. So I would go with this one. I was like, you rock.
Thanks. Oh, that's so fun. You also had a new article do well.
Yes, I did. I wrote an article about my friend Megan, because the fandom of SVU does not like Megan. And I don't know why. She's literally one of the sweetest people I've ever met. And well, I haven't met her yet, but we talk all the time. But she's one of the sweetest people, and she's fiercely protective of her friends. And I think that fierce protectiveness comes from everything that's happened to her in the fandom. Yeah. So.
This fandom is wonderful, but can also be
Toxic.
toxic.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of toxic,
Yes.
so if you guys didn't know this about me, I am weirdly invested in all things, Nickelodeon. Mostly just because, partially because of Jeanette McCurdy's book, which, if you haven't read it, highly recommend. It's a phenomenal memoir.
I have it on my Audible. I haven't read it yet or listened
Oh
to
my
it yet.
gosh, the audiobook version is even better because she reads it herself. So it's really good. But not just Jeanette McCurdy. Over the past few years, I have been obsessed with these videos by a guy named Quentin Reviews on YouTube. Highly recommend. He's so well educated and he deep dives into all of the Nickelodeon shows that were popular, when I was a kid, like a lot of iCarly, a lot of Victorious, that kind of thing. And he deep dives into how they're all connected. And at the same time as him releasing these videos, Jeanette McCurdy came forward with her book, and all of this information came out about Dan Schneider.
Yeah.
And so it was happening in the same time as me watching these videos. So I just got like super invested in learning all about it because it was all happening like in the era that I was watching the shows, if that makes sense. So recently, like this past couple weeks, HBO released a documentary called Quiet on Set, where they go and they basically interview a lot of the actors and actresses that were Nickelodeon kids. But in particular, what I want to talk about, I highly recommend going to watch it, so I don't want to spoil too much of it. If you are wanting to watch it and don't want spoilers, I would skip ahead to the next segment. But what I want to talk about is the Drake Bell of it all. Because if you guys didn't know, a few years ago, Drake Bell was arrested and pled guilty for inappropriate conversations with a minor. And I don't know if he's currently on probation, but he did get probation for it and community service, something like that. He pled guilty and admitted to all of it and was very, very canceled after that happened. You saw his life kind of change in a very dramatic way. And people haven't heard much from him since then. Aside from occasionally you'll see Drake in like some of Josh Peck's content. But we're not going to talk about Josh Peck, but he handled this whole thing disastrously. Just another conversation for another day. But I think what was interesting is that they had Drake Bell come on this documentary, and for the first time ever, he admitted the abuse that he suffered on set from Nickelodeon. And we find out that he was the child named in the case of one of the people in the crew that had been arrested for child SA and things like that. And Drake Bell gives a first person account of everything that happened to him. And it all kind of lines up with the stuff we know about Dan Schneider, the stuff we know about Nickelodeon, all of that, that you can learn in the documentary. But what's interesting to me about Drake Bell's thing that I wanted to talk about very quickly, is that it reminds me of Olivia saying there's no such thing as a perfect victim. Because he suffered greatly as a child and should never had gone through that. But he did victimize someone else when he became an adult. And that's a very common thing that happens with victims and survivors.
I just want to make 2 points real quick. I remember I used to listen to this podcast called Comments by Celebs. I don't listen to them anymore. But they had Drake Bell on a few years ago, and he was just like rude and mean, and it was just like, what the heck? Like, even the hosts were like, no, it was really bad. Like, that was edited, like, what you saw was, or what you heard was obviously edited for time and stuff like that, but it was bad. And we didn't edit him to look like that, it just was. And, the second thing is the whole, like Peter Herman said, the whole being abused in your past will lead you to abuse others in the future is an excuse. It's not an explanation.
Agree. Which is why I think it's pertinent to our podcast and what we do, but also the SVU fandom in general, is this is certainly a case that would have been on SVU. And I'm not a fan of Drake Bell, not endorsing him, not defending him. I just find it interesting that so much happened to him that nobody knew about. And to watch in real time how a victim becomes an abuser. And I don't really know what he's up to now. I don't know that he's changed or is less rude. I don't have opinions on that, but what I find interesting and worth watching, if you can stomach it, is his interview.
Yeah.
But yeah, that all of that's still floating around. It seems like there's new news every single day. Alexa Nichols has been talking a lot about her experience as well on Twitter and keeping everybody updated. So if you're interested, I would definitely follow her. Yeah, I think that was it for my spiel.
Real quick, Mariska Corner. She was in Arizona earlier in the past week, and she held a boa constrictor,
Oh,
which
yeah.
apparently she had as a pet when she was younger. Like, she had a boa constrictor as a pet as a child, and she also held a tarantula. Yeah. She was like, I was terrified.
She's so cute.
Yeah. But she
sorry,
faced her fear.
I did not mean to skip over Mariska. My brain just didn't see that on
It's
the
all
notes.
good.
I wrote the notes and I'm insane.
And now she's in Paris. And I'm hoping she's gonna see Maria Bello and we're gonna get a picture of the two of them. They're two of my favorite people.
Mariska really likes to travel, I've noticed.
Yeah.
They always go to like cool places. Even if it's in the United States, she always finds like a cute place to go.
But I think that's really it for the Mariska corner. So I want to get into the Jody and Ruby updates.
These women.
So, trigger warning for child abuse because they're horrible people. So new evidence was released. Since their sentencing to the public, so first of all, their mugshots on the day they were arrested were released. They hadn't been released previously because Utah has a law that until a perpetrator is convicted or pleads guilty, their mugshot isn't released. Which I think is a good thing because if someone
I do
didn't do
too.
a crime, they don't want the mugshot out there. So I think it's a good thing, frustrating as it may be in this case.
They did do it.
They did do it.
Yeah.
There were also pictures released of the children's state when they were found. Apparently, I haven't looked at them, and I don't want to look at them. And if you want to go look at them and search for them, I urge you to do so with caution, because people that have seen them that are in like the Jordan and McKay space, which is where I find all this stuff out, have looked at them and thrown up. So it's bad.
Yeah.
They also released audio, of like Jody's phone calls from prison or from jail, and Ruby's phone calls to her family from jail. They released the interviews with the police where Ruby was actually smart and didn't say anything except, "I'll wait for my lawyer." But Jody was like talking to them, even though she wasn't really saying anything and talking in circles.
Yeah.
They can still use that against you, Jody.
I know. Like, did they
Like,
not, like.
she's like, I watch too many crime dramas to talk to you. It's like, then why are you talking?
Literally don't speak.
And they released journals that Ruby kept while she was living with Jody. And in it goes into pretty graphic detail of what she did to the children. What her and Jody did to the children, I should say.
It's crazy to me they even she even kept journals. Like that's
Apparently, it was some kind of like not order, but like homework from Jody.
Oh, I guess that makes sense.
Yeah.
Because I was like, why would you want a written record of that? That can't do anything but hurt you.
Yeah. They were convinced that the kids were possessed by demons, and the treatment that they provided to the children was supposed to exorcise the demons out of them.
Right.
But they weren't possessed by demons. They were having trauma responses
And
and
being kids.
being kids.
I feel for them so strongly. I hope that
I
they go.
didn't watch the whole live stream of the new evidence coming out that Jordan and McKay did. Only because I had had enough at like 2 hours and they went for 4.5 hours.
They had
So,
some.
yeah. But I like to try to watch as much of that stuff as I can because I feel like I'm bearing witness to what happened to these people, to these children. And like, even though the kids don't know it, even though Ro Judy and no, Ruby and Jody.
Judy. We should just call them that from now on.
Jordan and McKay call them Joby.
Joby. Oh.
But even though like they don't know it and the kids don't know it and anyone involved with the case doesn't know it, I want to be there to bear witness to this because that's how healing begins. In the words of Olivia Benson, healing begins when someone bears witness. And I don't know, maybe like even though they're not here to know that I'm bearing witness to them, maybe like somehow universally or cosmically or something that'll help them start to heal.
Yeah. I hope they're doing okay.
Yeah. And again, if you want to go and look at those journals, I recommend doing so with caution. The things that Jordan McKay put on the video, the live stream on the and is now on video on demand, were just awful. And like they Jody and Ruby plan to buy land in Arizona and move the kids to Arizona to work on this land in Arizona in the heat outside all day with
I
like
hate.
no food, no water, nothing like that to punish them. And I don't think the kids would have survived that.
Yeah, me either. Oh, I feel for them, truly.
Me too.
Well, we'll keep you guys updated on Joby as we
Yes.
hear about it because I feel like every week there's something new.
Yeah. And if you guys want to hear all the latest updates as they come out, Jordan and McKay do a really good job of doing that on live streams. So I would follow them on YouTube. Just search Jordan and McKay. We'll tag them in the description so you can go to their YouTube channel. We'll tag them in the YouTube description.
I really like all of their content.
Yeah, I do too.
They're very good at it. All right, shall we get into our things?
Yes.
Okay, so we are on Instagram. Just a total vibe shift.
Total.
Just... At SVU Coven on Instagram, follow us there. We post there the most often as opposed to any other social media. So you're more likely to see our updates or anything else on SVU Coven on Instagram. We also have a free Discord server for you to join. It covers all things SVU Coven, from tarot to self-love affirmations to SVU to just talking to me and Coley if you want to. It's
Yeah.
not the most active, but I want to start having events and make the Discord more lively. So if you have any ideas for that, let me know. But all of that coming soon. You can get the link to our Discord in our Instagram bio, or you can DM us. We'll send you a fresh one. If social media is not really your thing, it's not a medium that speaks to you, you can always email us at svucoven@gmail.com. Coley does check the email, so somebody's reading it and she shares it with me, so you will hear back from us. We love getting emails from you guys. We've gotten some sweet ones in the past and really appreciated it, but it's also the best place to reach us if you're interested in sponsoring the show, running an ad with us, being on the show, have questions you want us to answer, or anything like that. It's svucoven@gmail.com. Also, if you aren't on Instagram, we can send you a Discord link via email as well. So reach out there if you're interested. Lastly, we have merch. It's
Yay!
really cute. We designed it ourselves. It's on Fourth Wall. Oh, that one's so good. The Anyway, Back to the Squad Room beanie.
Yeah.
We love our merch. It's so cute. And if you guys buy some and you're wearing it, feel free to tag us. We would share it all everywhere, all over social media, because it would just make our day. And we have new merch in the works, kind
Yes.
of. So stay tuned for that.
Yeah. It'll be a couple of drops this year, so keep your eyes out. Anyway, this is your episodic reminder to rate, review, and subscribe and comment. Rating and subscribing are the most important things you can do. It tells the algorithm that you like us and will recommend us to other people. Commenting, subscribing, and liking are the most important things you can do on YouTube. Again, it tells the algorithm that you like us and will recommend us to other people. Reviewing is just really nice, and we lost all our reviews when we switched podcast hosts, and we miss them and we'd like them back. And we have a coffee. So if you want to buy us a coffee, donate, $1, $3, $5, whatever. That's in our Instagram bio, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's totally not like required that you do that. It's 100% up to you. And all the money goes back into the show.
We appreciate it.
Yes, we appreciate the energy exchange.
Woo-hoo. Is that everything?
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Then we shall get into our self-love affirmation. So this one's kind of silly, but it's one that I have been using a lot lately. I actually just made it, I posted it on Instagram not long ago. But you know when people say, what's the worst that can happen? I have started, when I get really anxious about something, because my anxiety is very fear-based and I get very afraid of things. And I worry a lot. And instead of saying what's the worst that can happen, I have been making a list in my head of things that are the best that can happen. So my self-love affirmation for this episode is, what's the best that could happen? And I implore you to make a mental list or a physical one, if that speaks to you, of maybe four or five things that are the best things that could happen from a situation that is stressing you or giving you anxiety. Or even just like if you're trying to manifest like good things in your life or are looking towards the future with good intentions, thinking of all the best things that could happen. I think this would have been particularly helpful when my cat was undergoing surgery and stuff, to remember that there are good outcomes also.
Yes.
Because now that I'm on the other side of it, I'm like, oh, yeah, all those good things happen.
Yeah.
So close your eyes if you're not operating heavy machinery. Take some deep breaths and think about all of the best and good things that could happen.
Yes, remember to breathe.
Remember to breathe, yes. And
Or
please keep your eyes open if you are operating a vehicle
a forklift.
or a forklift.
Because I swear every time we say if you're operating heavy machinery, the only thing that comes to mind is a forklift. Even though there's like so many other things that
So many
qualify,
other things.
I
It's
just
always a
see forklift.
forklift. My boyfriend's best friend drives forklifts at their job, and he was a forklift for Halloween. And that's what I picture every time because he had a full costume and was like
Nice.
driving it around. And I'm like, forklift men. All
Yeah.
right. Are you ready?
I'm ready. We've been waiting for months to do this. Like,
I
even
know.
longer since we've been away because
I
of the
know.
strikes.
Okay. So, this is season 3, episode 6 of Law and Order SVU Redemption. We are back. So, it opens on the Law and Order intro, naturally. And then we open to a scene in the courtroom. Stabler is being questioned on the stand about Leslie Bello, I believe is her last name. They're asking him if he who all he tested in her life that could have particularly been an issue in this SA case. He didn't test Mr. Hernandez or her bus driver or the plumber, etc. Leslie did not identify them as her rapist or abuser. Alex Cabot, ladies and gentlemen, Alex objects and redirects Stabler's line of questioning, and Stabler says that he didn't test anybody else because Leslie's grandfather, Frederick, was her rapist. This case is very important to the rest of the episode.
Yes.
Stabler goes to talk to Leslie, who was the young girl, before she goes in for questioning on the stand. He tells her that her grandfather can't hurt her anymore and that she's safe to go in there to talk about it. We switch over back to the squad room anyway. And Olivia talks to Stabler about the case, but he is visibly kind of just pissed off about what happened because Frederick walked. So he didn't serve any time for the molestation of his granddaughter. Olivia says jury screw up, which I think is an interesting line. And Elliot knocks over all the coffee stuff, which I think is funny because I think Chris Maloney didn't want to cause any actual damage, so he just knocks over like the paper cups.
Yeah.
I like to imagine he was like, I want to be aggressive, but I don't want to knock the coffee pot over. But also this scene is interesting to me because it's a good example of Elliot's anger and internal rage.
Yeah.
So next scene, the squad is on the scene of a crime. They're at an apartment. There's no sign of forced entry, but there is a literal hole in the middle of the door, like somebody just punched a hole in the door or like kicked it in.
I fixed that for you because you put hole with a W, like a whole
Did
watermelon or something. So I took the W out because it was
That's
driving me
funny.
nuts.
There was a hole in the middle of the door. There's a girl tucked in the bed with her hands bound behind her back. Her throat had been slit and she showed signs of being assaulted. And there was one white rose placed on her bed. And they referred to the why is the
Perpetrator.
perpetrator, thank you, as a romantic psycho, which I thought was interesting as well. Good writing.
Yeah.
Then we done.
First undone back.
First, dun dun. My brain goes dun dun.
Yeah, I'd show you mine, but I have a sweatshirt
Sweatshirt.
on. So, yeah.
Munch and Finn go to interview one of the victim's neighbors. Her name is Jennifer, by the way, if I haven't said that already. Jennifer had a boyfriend named David, and the neighbor was watching Jennifer's dog at the time, which is why they felt it was pertinent to interview her. She saw David sometimes outside of Jennifer's door. She said he was tall with graying hair. He would bring her flowers. They had had an argument the night before. Jennifer's friend was, oh, sorry. There's a loud car outside. Jennifer's friend was supposed to meet her around 9 o'clock, and she had heard the man with her. Ow, sorry, I hurt my ankle. Okay. Where was I? She had heard a man with her, but never met up with Jennifer. Elliot pushes the girl out of anger. Jennifer was supposedly a neat freak. So most of her apartment was like squeaky clean, but there was blood all over the couch and all over the floor. So you could see kind of where she was assaulted and then moved. And I thought this was really interesting because you watch Mariska walk around the blood drops. Like they zoom in on her feet and you can see her like move around. And I thought that was a neat like inclusion.
Yeah.
All of Jennifer's clothes are very neat, but the buttons are gone, like they had been ripped apart. However, there was no sign of serious struggle in the apartment. Melinda is there and says that we're looking for someone who's left-handed. There's blood on the sink and on the shower drain. And by the end of the scene, you can tell that Olivia is pissed at Elliot for being pissed off
I was gonna say for being Elliot.
for being himself.
Yes.
Just mad about it. In the squad room, they're debating if it was a crime of passion. Huang is there and says that violence is the reward based on what he can tell is the way that the perp is enjoying it, I guess. He believes the perp is smart and charming. Elliot leaves the room out of frustration. Kragen gives orders to Munch and Finn. Then we cut to Munch and Finn going to talk to Melinda. Melinda's doing the autopsy of Jennifer and says she has a hand injury. There's traces of spermicide and two incisions on her chest. And I thought it was interesting. By the end, Melinda says that her like death was a blessing due to the amount of torture that Jennifer was put through prior to it.
Yeah.
Elliot and Olivia go to interview someone who might know David, the boyfriend. He's the head of a clothing store. The worker there, this is the scene I always remember from this episode. I don't know why it sticks out in my memory so much, but
Yeah.
the worker there says that David is married, but he shamelessly chases women who work for him. He did pay a lot of extra attention to Jennifer. Elliot and Olivia go to talk to David upstairs. They bring David in for questioning, and he does, in fact, have a hand injury. Elliot calls him Shoe Boy because he works in the shoe department of the store, which I thought was amusing. David says Jennifer was going to file a complaint with their boss about harassment, and he says he only ever took Jennifer out to dinner. Elliot slams David against the wall after he seemed surprised Jennifer is dead because Elliot obviously didn't believe him. David says she threw him out and all he did was punch the door. David says he was at the hospital by 8 getting his hand injury taken care of. The detectives confirm this. David was at the ER by 7:45. The nurse said David was hitting on her, so she would purposefully push back his operation time because he was being gross and she saw that he had a wedding ring. And I thought that was a nice little tidbit.
Yeah, that's what I remember from this episode.
I
Like, constantly.
was like, you go, girl.
Yeah.
While Elliot and Olivia are leaving, there is another victim put like on a gurney that seems like a drive-by past them. And then Olivia gets a phone call and finds out that's their second victim. So they're already there. Might as well go check that
Interview.
out.
Yeah.
But the second victim is 25 years old. She was a teacher's aide. At this point, Huang identifies that the perpetrator is too organized to be a first timer. This has to be something that's been going on for years with a romantic element to it. Huang estimates that the perp would be white, educated, and probably works in middle management and has been doing this for about 5 to 10 years. At this point, they're sitting in the squad room and John Hawkins comes in. His name's John, first name
Yeah,
John.
I
John
think
Hawkins.
so.
Yeah. And he walks by and recognizes Elliot. Elliot recognizes him. Evidently, they were in the academy together. Hawkins was Elliot's teacher, mentor.
Rabbi.
And Cragen pulls both Elliot and Hawkins into his office. Hawkins says that he believes that they are looking for the Soho Strangler. Stabler says it could be a copycat, but Hawkins says no. He cuts the chest of his victims so that his bite marks aren't picked up for DNA or identification purposes, which is consistent with Jennifer's injuries. Hawkins is temporarily assigned to SVU, and Stabler thinks it's because Cragen thinks he needs a babysitter, which you will find a common theme between Elliot and Cragen. But anyway,
To this day,
to
to this day.
this day, but neither here nor there. Hawkins tells the team he believes it's Roger Berry. It fits the signature of Roger's previous crimes. Roger works in a flower shop, so Hawkins and Elliot go. Olivia goes to forensics to see what's going on. They pull a contact lens and some other things, but they are trying to pull the DNA to match it to Roger. Hawkins and Stabler go to Roger's apartment. Hawkins knocks down the door. Elliot doesn't think it's Roger that's committed the crimes. Hawkins finds newspaper clippings of the two most recent victims. And then the parole officer shows up. So why this is significant is they didn't have permission to enter the apartment until the parole officer was there. But he did indeed show up and seemed to have no issue with it. Which is very Hawkins, I feel like.
Yeah.
So from there, Hawkins and Stabler go to talk to Roger's mom. Roger has a tendency to go, his mom is very defensive of him. And understandably, and protective, and Roger tends to go there, so they just assume that he might be there or she might know where he is. She says that she has nothing to say, and essentially, it's established that his mom hides him and like covers for him. Hawkins decides that they should go to a diner or a food establishment, restaurant. That Roger frequents to see if he shows up there. The bartender at the restaurant doesn't. Sorry, car. The bartender at the restaurant does know Roger and says that he orders the same dinner every time he's there. They even keep a little reserved spot on the table that Roger likes to eat at. Elliot and Hawkins chill at the bar and order some burgers. Elliot is still visibly upset about losing the case from the beginning of the episode and is talking to Hawkins about it. And he says he's just so tired of losing. And it's one of the, not the first times, but a significant time we see Elliot considering quitting SVU,
Yeah.
which is extremely significant a while in the future.
Yes.
At this point, Munch calls Elliot, says that Roger delivered flowers to Jennifer's apartment. And the bartender says that since Roger's not there, he's probably at Pier 41 because he likes to frequent and look at the water and whatnot over there. So Hawkins and Elliot run over to Pier 41 and they do indeed find Roger there. Roger is attempting to jump into the water to unalive himself, and sink down to the bottom from what I, or he has like a rope and some things from what I could gather. Hawkins essentially punches Roger to get him to stop and punches him to the ground, and then Elliot collars him. They take Roger to interrogation, and Roger says he was with his mother at home the night of the murder. He denies killing both the women. He said his mom gave him the newspaper clippings just to warn him, that the cops may be looking at him. Hawkins pushes Roger until Roger ends up flipping the table up. Hawkins slaps him. Roger says he wants my mom. He just kept saying, I want my mom. I want my mom. Elliot stops the altercation. SVU as a whole does not think that Roger is the perpetrator. They push back against Hawkins and let Roger go. Alex says no DNA, no arrest, and they don't believe that Roger is actually the Soho Strangler. Elliot and Olivia go to the archives to look into the Soho Strangler's background and all of the case files. It seems that Hawkins has already checked the documents out from the archives. Elliot goes to talk to Hawkins at his home. Hawkins is sitting in a chair smoking, listening to the archive tapes. In those tapes, there is proof that Hawkins coerced Roger into a confession. A neighbor alibied Roger. Hawkins caught the Soho Strangler case when he had first started on the force, and he wanted so badly to do well. He wanted the confession so badly that he grilled Roger until he admitted it. And Hawkins says, I took 18 years from an innocent man, which is like the of the episode, I feel like.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially in this day and age where we talk about coercion a lot more.
Yeah. In the body cam footage of Jody yapping to the police, you can hear the police saying, "Oh, I don't know why your attorney said not to talk to us. He it's probably just what attorneys say."
Ugh.
Like trying to get her to talk more. And it, yeah.
Ridiculous. All right. Spell break.
Yes. So this is coming out April 1st.
Ooh, April Fool's Day, Mercury retrograde.
Yeah. The color of the day is white. The incense of the day is narcissus. I've never heard of that, but we'll go with it. April Fool's Day, All Fool's Day, honoring the fool within. All Fool's Day, or April Fool's Day, has a reputation for being a day of pranks and practical jokes, which means you should probably double-check the publication date of that too good article you just saw on the internet. But what if on this day we embrace the energy of the fool from the Major Arcana instead, while also reviewing this card in a new light? Rather than seeing the fool as a figure about to step off a cliff, consider that they're stepping down from the heavens to the top of a mountain, beginning their exciting journey down to into the world. This shift can help us change your own perspective when facing, wow, both difficulties and opportunities. Pull the fool card from your tarot deck and place it upon your altar for meditation. To represent the tools of the minor arcana, collect a stick of incense for wands, a candle for swords, a glass of water for cups, and a salt or a spice for pentacles. Now recognize each of these, each with these words. I breathe the aroma of life. Light the incense. I am guided by the light within me. Light the candle. May I always be refreshed. Drink the water. May my life be rich and flavorful. Taste the salt or spice. And that is by Laura Tempest Sackroff.
Fun fact for anyone that doesn't know, the Fool card is my favorite card. So I love that. Also, just astrologically, April 1st is the first day of Mercury retrograde. I believe it's the first Mercury retrograde of the year as well. So we're in the shadow period, at the time we're recording this.
Yes.
Thank you so much for the
You're
spell bear.
welcome.
So lovely.
Yeah.
Okay. So, anyway, back to the squad room. Just kidding. We're not in the squad room, but I just wanted to say it. Elliot tells Roger to confess. Wait, Roger? Did I write that correctly?
I don't know.
Hawkins, I think, is what I meant. Elliot tells Hawkins to confess his crimes. Elliot looks through the archived files at Hawkins' home while they're there, and he thinks he found something. Arthur is one of the witnesses, and one of the victims had seen a tax man with Arthur's initials before she got murdered. Arthur has glasses, which is important. Munch goes all over the case's hotspots back in the squad room, showing where each of the patterns happened across the country. It looks like it started in Chicago, and happened again in Atlanta. Arthur had quit his job in Connecticut and he now works for the IRS.
That has to be such a shitty job.
I know.
People hate you for no reason. I feel like IRS workers and dentists are on the same level.
They go to Arthur's office and take over his cubicle. They have records there, tax records of the two most recent victims with all of their information within them. So home addresses, phone numbers, credit, all of that. Anything you would give to the IRS, right? They rushed to the next apartment listed on his appointments. Arthur brought her flowers and they opened the door to see that she had a bloody hand because it was cut on the vase of the flowers. They interviewed the girl. She says Arthur was helping her with her taxes and she had come to the office. He offered to take her to lunch when she was nervous about being audited. He told her he had double booked and wanted to apologize by taking her to dinner. Then he started asking her a lot of questions about her personal life. And then tonight he showed up at her apartment with flowers. She thought that she could let him down gently without screwing up her taxes. This makes Arthur the prime suspect. There's DNA evidence. Hawkins pushes the table across the room when he's talking to Arthur, and him and Elliot both kind of play bad cop, it seems like. Which I also found interesting because it kind of highlights how Arthur would have taught Elliot to behave, if that makes sense. Not Arthur, Hawkins, sorry.
Yeah.
Back in the squad room, Alex says that we have nothing to hold Arthur on. She says that Roger is a conflict due to previously being perceived as the Soho Strangler. Hawkins is visibly upset. Hawkins asks about the old murders and they wonder about the DNA. Forensics goes over all the evidence and there wasn't anything that they could match. They look at the sheet of the first victim. They extracted some DNA, but the sample is mixed. There's multiple DNA samples on there. They need DNA from the suspect and the victim, but the victim has been dead for 18 years. Her parents do not want her body dug up. Elliot and Hawkins explain to them why they need the body dug up, and that it's the last hope to catching her killer. They do end up digging up her body. And from there, Elliot and Hawkins walk into Arthur's apartment building. They hear a noise and break down the door. Arthur ran up the fire escape. Originally, I thought he ran down, he ran up the fire escape. And in the notes I put, do people really do that often? Like, use their fire escapes?
I don't know.
I've never had one, so I've never had the experience of using it, but it seems like on TV people use it constantly.
Yeah.
Like
I
they're going
mean,
up, they're going down, they're sitting on it, smoking a cigarette, like.
I can see people sitting on it smoking a cigarette more often than going up or down it.
Yeah, me too. Like it's a porch.
Yeah.
But I just thought that was funny. Elliot is still inside the apartment. He figures out what happened as Hawkins runs up the fire escape to the top of the building. I could not think of the word roof to save my life, so I put top of the building. It's fine. Arthur is running. Elliot goes after Hawkins, who is going after Arthur. I thought it was kind of cool the way they filmed this scene. You can see the New Yorker building and the Empire State Building at different points. So if you're like me and like observing the New York of it all, that's a good scene for it. Arthur is hanging from the side of the building with Hawkins standing over him, essentially about to fall off this giant building. Hawkins steps on one of Arthur's hands and he lets go. Elliot tries to talk Hawkins down from essentially murdering Arthur. Hawkins steps on his other hand and it seems like he's gonna push him off, but eventually they both lift Arthur back up. Elliot cuffs him and Hawkins collars him. And then we Dick Wolf.
Dick Wolf. For the first time back, we Dick Wolf.
The first time back. I should have worn my Dick Wolf beanie. I have it over there. This episode to me is kind of, it's not one of my favorites, but I think it addresses a lot of important things.
Yeah.
Like being wrongfully convicted due to coercion. But from the POV of the cop that did it is always interesting. I think that's a running theme with Elliot too, a little
Yeah.
bit. And it's a good Stabler episode for sure.
Oh, yeah.
If you're still hanging out with us, feel free to follow us on social media. We are at Instagram on S we are on Instagram at SVU Coven. You can email us at svucoven@gmail.com. And if you're interested in joining the Discord server, which please, please do if you're into that kind of thing. You can get the link for that on Instagram, or you can shoot us an email and we will send you a fresh one. We also have merch, and we're going to have a couple merch drops coming up this year, 2024. So keep your eyes peeled for that. If you buy some of our merch and you're wearing it or drinking out of it or just have pictures of it, please tag us at SVU Coven. We would love to share it on our social media.
Yes. Okay. So I pulled the
Moon. Oh my gosh,
moon.
actually, look, moon. Moon. Moon.
Yay. That's awesome. Hold on, I gotta find it on my thing.
My gosh.
The moon. Okay.
Moon.
Illusion, fear, anxiety, subconscious intuition. Okay, so I see how this plays into my life. It's very anxiety coded.
Same.
Yeah. And it has to do with the subconscious and the intuition, which I think is perfect for the episode because I think SVU had to listen to their intuition on this case to kind of prove Roger wrong, or not Roger, Hawkins.
Agree.
But like I said, I can see how this fits in my own life right now, too.
I love that.
Yeah. This is my
The
first tarot poll since October.
moon. Oh my gosh, yeah. I was gonna say the moon is also pertinent for both of us, the moon tarot card, because it's the card for Pisces, which is my zodiac sign, but then it's also Cancer is ruled by the moon.
Yeah.
So the card also has Cancer in it too, which is Pisces, the
Yes.
zodiac sign. So that's a cute one.
Yep.
I would have passed out if the fool jumped out.
I would have died. It would have been perfect.
I would have just fully just yeeted off of this. Oh. So that's our show.
That's our show.
We did it.
We did the damn thing.
Oh. Okay, well, I love you so much.
I love you too.
And I'll talk to you soon.
Okay.
Blessed be.
Blessed be.
It would
On.
be a miracle if we could.